Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome to the build-up show, Liverpool versus Man United. I think it's fair to say that every single one on the show today is jonesing for a little bit of a big clash to get the teeth into, so to speak, and it will be a top-of-the-table clash indeed. First versus second, Liverpool versus Man United. The resurgent Manx back on our perch for the time being, and it's up to Liverpool to, again, knock them back off. Can the champions pick themselves back up? We shall find out in due course. I'm Paul Machen. Ross Chandler joins me in the studio from home. We've got Chris Pajak and Sam Walker as well. Ross, yes, second versus first. This all got very interesting very quickly.
Yeah, not joint second this anymore. Can't even use that against them. Yeah, interesting to see what's going on. A bit of a weird paradox that they're above us for a change. It feels a bit weird. But, you know, we've said this about ourselves last season, the season before, and this season. We're not even halfway through yet. So it's, you know, it's early days in terms of a title race that doesn't exist yet. But also, I think it's really good to get one over on your rivals, and you know, you said get on top of the perch. You know, we want to knock them back down, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is we talked about this when we were talking about the FA Cup draw as well, Chris. Is that you need big games in your life at the moment, and I know there's an associated nerves and all that kind of stuff that comes in. I'm sure there'll be a ton of people who have got really fearful ahead of this game, but I'm just looking forward to feeling some feelings, and you know, hopefully Liverpool are in a position to be able to let us feel some really good feelings around this game.
I think the same, to be honest with you. It's massively important. You know, obviously it's a huge game, and you know, you've got loads of Man United fans being all shouty and horrible on Twitter and stuff and going on about being unbearable and stuff like that, and that's brilliant. That's what you want to see, because it's the hope that kills you. We've all been there. Yeah. And listen, right now they deserve to be top of the table. They've got more points than everybody else. They've won more games, but they're not as good a side as they think they are. Liverpool aren't playing as well as we actually are, so it promises to be a brilliant game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? And Sam, you know, Chris said it there. There's no doubt in my mind Man United are a fantastic side at the moment. You know, they've got great players, they've got great squad depth, and again, what they've got behind them is a pedigree of success as well, in a general sense. You know, we can't sit here, you know, and as we've done many times over the years when Liverpool have gone into big European games and gone, Liverpool and Europe are a match made in heaven, you know, and because we've got all these things that have gone on in the past, and then deny that Man United can possibly have a similar sort of thing when it comes to the Premier League. So like, there's a grudging sort of, I don't know, I say respect's hard to kind of say, because I feel a bit like ashes in my mouth when I say it about Manchester United, but I can recognise the talent that they've got available and know that this is not the Man United side of a few years ago. They've got too many good players for this to be seen as a potential walkover for Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think we've been here this season before against Spurs, Leicester. I don't know if you were on a call Wolves or Arsenal, those type of games, but they were all seen as games where, oh, is this Liverpool's chance to, you know, are we going to lose a game at home? Is it going to all become too much for us? But you're spot on there where you mentioned the sort of pedigree, the rivalry. It's Manchester United. If you remove that fact from this game, it would be another one of those games that we'd all be pretty confident that we'd turn it on for. But I think when you add in the fact that it is Manchester United, it is, they're this all sort of conquering Premier League side, even though they aren't, but they were, if you know what I mean. I think it adds to it, and it does add that nerves. It'd be really interesting to know where the players' mindsets are on this, whether it matters to them or whether they see it as, well, it's another home game against the big team, let's go and beat them, or whether they take into account what we do as fans, the sort of large scale of the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, you look at them, I think what we've seen so far, and Sam refers to it, and I think it's right, there's a lot of similarities to the Tottenham Hotspur game before Christmas, where they're really solidly organised. They've got a great loads of really good players as well. You know, they've got a clearly defined way of playing that not necessarily is one that we particularly admire, but it's one that's been effective in what they've done. And yeah, I can't help but look at them, you know, and look at the talent that they've got. And I think this Liverpool side will do the same. They'll relish this challenge, and they'll actually, you know, more so now than ever, because they've actually got something to fight for now all of a sudden. Because let's be honest, you know, your point of it, we're not even at the halfway point of the season yet. So the idea that this is the title race is just a complete nonsense. It's a fabrication by the media to try and make things seem more dramatic than they actually are. But equally, you don't want to be 6 points behind Manchester United. And then, you know, you don't want to be 6 points behind top of the league. And that's the point for this. You know, if the champions want to continue to be champions, if they want to defend their title, then there's an opportunity to kick towards that.
Yeah, and it's a good opportunity to show the fans, you know, a decent performance. Like, again, the Aston Villa game was, you know, second half was great, but in recent weeks it kind of plays into your mind of the fear of what's going on at Liverpool at the minute. You know, no, the centre-back issues, we touched on the midfield issues that we kind of got going on, and then you pair that with how good Manchester United have been doing. I think it's also hard because Man United have been the butt of many jokes for the past 2-3 seasons, or certainly Solskjaer has, you know, kind of laughing at him to see them at the top. It does kind of hurt.
No, but Ross, we've laughed our cocks off it at Moyes and, yeah, you know, Van Gaal and Mourinho being past his best, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coming in. But we're all gonna have to pay a heavy penance for that, yeah, if Man United come back, because, you know, we've all thrown a lot of shit, yeah, a lot of shade their way in the last few years.
It's that psychological boost. It's not just the 3 points in this game. It's what it does to the kind of rest of the season. Liverpool go clear, then okay, we not clear, we win the game. It knocks them down a little bit. If they win, you know, there's all of a sudden a bigger gap, and there's the bigger issues at Liverpool. Is there a wider issue? But the home. Record as well. Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose that to Manchester United. If it is one team in the league, you don't want to lose that to, it's Manchester United, because again, even if they don't win the league, you lost that unbeaten record at home for, you lose it to Manchester United. I don't want that either. As much as I want the 3 points on top of that as well.
Yeah.
Just don't lose to them either.
Yeah, I know. They you know, without sitting here and stroking Man United off too heavily here, Chris, you know, they've got some really good players, and you know, my overriding feeling is the manager is subpar, you know, by comparison, you know, but I think what you've got a world is, for me, I still think Liverpool and Man City on their best day are still the best pound for pound squads, and they've got the two best managers in the country, certainly, arguably, in the world. And every other team below that is missing a key ingredient that, you know, that is present in those sides. But, you know, that this is a mad season. That might not matter. It might just be about Man United having the quality and the depth of quality that they've got, particularly in the attacking areas, might actually be enough to see them over the line, because, heaven forbid, you know, we've seen madder things happen.
No, I think you're right there. And it's something I've been saying for a few weeks now, is that this season, and a lot of people have, not just me, this season's so much different to every other season. Don't be surprised to see a different style of football work this season, and not again next season. We go back to what we'd seen in previous years. But still, look, Manchester United at the top now. I don't see that Manchester United will be there at the end. I think our biggest challenges, and the ones most likely to rip the title away from us, are Manchester City. Now, Manchester United are playing really well, and don't get me wrong, and as I said, they deserve to be top, but they're certainly not the best side in the league. I think Manchester City are the best side in the league right now on form. As well, yeah. And that's not just so poor, that's not just the way in which they're playing. It's everything about it. It's the squad depth, it's how they've managed the injuries and everything else. So you just go on there, I'm just going to disappear for a second. There's no.
I'll pick that baton up, Chris Pajax. Sad. Yeah, it's no, everything that Chris said there, Sam, you know, I look at what they've got and what they've done, and there's some comparisons to like 13-14 Liverpool, and we were having a bit of a debate in the WhatsApp group in building up to this show, is that I kind of get that a little bit, is that they're not a great possession side. They are definitely set up to be much more of a counter-attacking side, and a lot of cracks in that side are papered over by, you know, when you've got more than one 20 goal a season player, I think it really helps. And, you know, there's definitely, in the terms of their best players, having Cavani, having Rashford, having Bruno Fernandes is absolutely unreal, and then a couple of other bits and pieces within there. There's an understandable cross. I don't think it's a straight comparison because, as we kind of saying, I think United's overall squad is better than what Liverpool's was in 13-14, but I do see it as a very, very talented side, a side that has the individual talents to win any game of football. But I mean, and I hope it has these, but it possesses a similar thing to Liverpool, that its deficiencies might be what undoes it, you know, over the course of a full season.
I think with the 13-14 season, we had an okay team and an absolutely unbelievable world-class player. Now, the word world-class gets thrown around a lot. Obviously, I don't see any world-class players in Manchester United's side. And I, the reason why I say that is because whenever they play against the top sides, now obviously they could all unravel on Sunday and then next week again, but thus far, and in the Champions League as well, they just haven't, they haven't had anyone that stood out and delivered on a big stage. Like Fernandes' stats against big teams have been terrible. You know, Rashford's probably the guy who stepped up most for them. But I think we talk about styles. I don't really want to compare them to Mourinho because he's got a fixed way. But when I look at Manchester United, I see a team that are a bit more solid than they were. I definitely give them that credit. They're more organised at the back. But they're a team of moments. And when I say moments, I mean, there's no real sort of identity of how they're going to score a goal. Like, we use the fullbacks, we press from the front, etc., etc. Man City possession, they work the angles. They're a team that produce moments. You know, they're expecting Pogba to score a volley from 20 yards like he did against Burnley, which deflected on the way. Or they're waiting for a moment to Fernandes after he's trying to unlock a pass. There's been lots of VAR moments this year, which we've all talked about. I think that's the thing with them, is they're a team of moments, which worries me because on Sunday, they could produce a moment or two. De Gea could produce a moment or two, and it could be the difference. But all things being equal, and why I agree with the notion that Manchester City are probably the closest to being champions elect at the moment, if not us, is because you can't win a league in moments. Leicester didn't win a league in moments. They're the defined way of playing. And I think United will come unstuck in periods of time, like they already have done this season. But right now, like you say, they've got the most points. They deserve to be top, and it's up to us to knock them back off. It'll be the shortest trip to the pitch ever been, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a slightly counter what Sam's saying there, those moments. I think there's some similarities between them this season and Liverpool last season. And obviously, don't mean that by title. When you talk about those moments, there's been loads of games where they haven't played well at all, and they've come away with 3 points. Well, pretty much. But you gain confidence, you gain belief, and that's what they've done. They have got tighter at the back, but there's even like the Brighton game. They scored after the final whistle, which is just fucking mental. But even from then, they've built on that. And, you know, okay, not in the Champions League because they got knocked out. Yeah. But there's been certain games this season where, and I think their stats are pretty high, scoring in the last 10 minutes of games. Mm-hmm. So even this game is fairly tight within the last 10 minutes. You can't count them out.
Yeah, and this is the problem that Liverpool are facing, is that, our front three is more than capable of beating any team on the planet. Pick three of our midfielders and you can put a midfield together that's as good as any midfield on the planet. But the issues persist. The issues remain that we know about is defensively, we're going to have a centre-back partnership in this game that will have obvious weaknesses to it, and whether that's pace or whether that's experience or whether that's experience at playing centre half plus pace or any of the above. United are, when I think about the teams that have caused us problems, even not necessarily beating us, I think all the way back to Leeds United right at the start of the season, and I think Fulham did a similar thing to us as well. You know, teams that have got pace that can exposure on, you know, in a short turnaround. Man United have got that going for them, and that's a major weapon in their arsenal, which is something that Liverpool very much need to be switched on for. But I think it's interesting. I just think it's a really exciting game. And the big question before we dive into team selection, which we'll do after the break, Ross, is Trent Alexander-Arnold in this game. Now, he's had his history with Manchester United almost is fascinating. You know, there's so many touchstone moments in his sort of career that go back to Manchester United games, going back to his obviously playing at Old Trafford and all that kind of stuff in his debut. But he's not been in good form this season. And I think we need him. I think we need the best of Trent back as soon as possible, really. The only question mark, and it's an intangible that I'm not sure we'll fully know. I think if we're going to get the best out of Trent, we're going to have to place, as a team, greater faith into whoever's at the back. Whoever that right-sided centre-half is, we've got to say, right, we trust you to do the job as well as any other centre-half would do, because I do feel that part... I think Trent struggled for fitness. I think that's been a major concern this season, going back to pre-season, going back to... He's had COVID in this time and all this kind of stuff, and injury problems, as well as the no pre-season thing. But, yeah, it's a big game, and we need our big game players. And I think if we can get Trent functioning in this match, then, look, it goes without saying, it's going to give us a greater platform.
Yeah, form, fitness, and probably our midfield as well has probably affected the way that Trent's playing this game. I know this has been mentioned a few times, the fact that when Henderson's not there, so taking Southampton, for example, there's no one to drop into his position because he don't understand that role. I think it might have been Chamberlain that was in and around that, and he wasn't probably match fit himself at that point. So you're right, the centre-back partnership does kind of dictate the midfield and our full-backs in that sense. I think obviously Fabinho starts, but... I don't know anymore on the break thing, because I was about to say, well, we've had a bit of recovery time between the two games for us to kind of get up and running. Klopp did mention last week in the press that they're going to do a lot of 11v11s in training this week in the build-up to this game, so I think we'll see the benefit of that, hopefully. It's got to come to form at some point, but it depends how Manchester United line up as well. You know, Rashford played out on the right against Burnley, but I think he's normally out on the left-hand side and cuts in on his right, who's kind of done him before. Equally, Martial's pretty pacey, so he needs that level of protection, and he needs that defender or midfielder to allow him to go forward and exploit Manchester United's weaknesses as well.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't Rashford up against them, Sam. You know, they've had some big battles down the years, and I mean, it came to the forefront of my mind this week because I saw some United fans going, look, there's a video clip when Rashford ended Trent's career, and it's just like he went on and won the European Cup, and that's that particular season, and he's won the league since then. So I don't think he's had his career quite as curtailed by Rashford as some might think.
But, how many trophies has Rashford won in that time? None. And how many has Trent won? Four.
Yeah, definitely. But it's an example of, he's had a few of these players up against them. Like, you know, Leroy Sané was the other one where it's a big challenge for Trent because he's got to be switched on at both ends of the pitch. And it might just be what he needs. He's had a little bit of a kick up the arse. He's had a little bit of a rest, and he'll have had a full week's training, hopefully, in the build-up to this. There can be no more excuses, really, is what I'm driving at, really, particularly in a game of this magnitude.
It's going to be interesting to see what Man United do as well. I think that'll determine what Trent we see. If they go the traditional big game 3-5-2, it changes how they attack, and it also changes what Trent's got to do and where Rashford's placed, etc. If they go 4-3-3, which would be interesting because it'd be brave from Ollie, really, then obviously he's going to be up against Rashford. I think Martial got injured last night, didn't he? So, there's probably a chance he's going to miss the game now. So that definitely means that Rashford's going to be on the left-hand side. I think Trent needs, I agree completely, he needs someone next to him who he can just trust, whether Klopp tells him to trust him more or whether he trusts him naturally if Matip makes it. But he needs Henderson in that midfield. I'm not one for him playing centre, but he needs to have that trust in Henderson to cover him and he can get forward. We also need to see him get early balls in against United, who defend well deep. He's got to get early balls across the box behind the centre backs, and you know it's a perfect game for him, but it could also be the worst game for him. You can see it going both ways, Trent, can't you?
Yeah, 100%, and that's a real shame at the moment. Right, we're going to take a very short break. I've got a trivia question to keep you tidied over while you are soaking up a little preview of a wonderful mini-series that we've got for you guys. Trivia question is, who is the only player to score a hat-trick for Liverpool versus a Solskjaer-managed side? I'll give you bonus points for getting the game and the score as well. Check back in a second.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, check out the 50 greatest moments of the Jürgen Klopp era so far. Two-part mini-series available right now, streaming right here, right now on the redmentv.com. So sign up, get that, and get some amazing content as well to keep you tied over in between games. Not just week-to-week match day stuff, but also interviews with Liverpool legends, past and present, documentaries, mini-series, and more as well. Yes, the question before the break was, who's the only player to score a hat-trick for Liverpool versus a Solskjaer-managed side? Ross Chandler, do you know?
Suarez.
Luis Suarez, correct. And Chris Pajak, the score was?
6-3.
Yeah, and Sam Walker, the team we played was?
Cardiff City away.
Yes, well done, Jeds. Absolutely smashed it.
I thought you were setting me up for a fail then, because when we went to the adverse, I went 6-3, and then I thought he set me up here that it's just going to be because that's what he does best.
No, there we go. Just for, we've just undermined what was a wonderfully teed up moment where you collectively delivered the answer. Well done, guys. If you all got that, then give yourselves a massive pat on the back, and why not drop a like on the video to celebrate? Yes. Ross, look, let's assume that Matip hasn't made a miraculous recovery, although I feel that everything will be getting done right now, same as we had in the build-up to the Tottenham game. I would be much more assured. If you could tell me right now that Matip will get through 90 minutes of this game, but you won't have him for another couple of weeks or whatever, I would probably bite your hand off.
Yeah.
But let's work on the assumption that he's not. We went with Jordan Henderson against Southampton, which I think showed a sign that we were taking them very seriously. Henderson he plays them on side for the goal, but I think by and large he handled, you know, the threat of Danny Ings pretty well, you know, particularly in behind and whatever. He covered the fullback position quite nicely. Reece Williams had a really good game against Tottenham Hotspur, but we've seen his what looks like a criminal lack of pace exposed in the last couple of performances.
Yeah, and potentially the physicality of Cavani, who was impressed with against Burnley last night. It's the first time I properly watched him, but even him like kind of dropping deep and doing the dirty work, I was impressed with. I'm the same as you, Matip. If he's 90%, just play him just to get through this game. I know he might be out for 4 months afterwards. At this point, I don't care. Ask me again next week. I think it should be Henderson, but it also depends on what availability we got in midfield. Obviously, we've got Thiago back. Oxlade-Chamberlain's played quite a bit. I'd probably say James Milner to do that Henderson role we were talking about before. If Trent can get forward and you've got James Milner, you know, you've got a mature head, someone experienced, someone who can fill in at right back who's got that experience in that position as well, I'd do that. But of course, if we're threadbare in midfield, what are you losing? You can also ruin Reece Williams' career in this game if you play him at centre half and he gets done for pace 2-3 times.
Yeah, the thing that gets me, and again, the problem is at the moment, Chris, we can't pick positions in isolation because everything has a knock on effect to everything else we're sort of doing. And the midfield thing for me, and Ross's notion there is absolutely sound, like the James Milner thing, but also we've been so poor attacking centrally, I think, in recent weeks. You know, we've very much fallen into the trap of play it side to side and whip across in. And when it works, it's great. But we always talk about this. It's a great weapon in our armory, in our arsenal, but it can't be the only one. And the issue with James Milner, if you're starting James Milner in midfield, yes, you're getting that grit. Yes, you're getting that, you know that extra bite, which you might well need. But you're then saying, well, it's Genie's defo starting. And yes, Thiago can provide that, but are we lacking a little bit of dynamism that a Curtis Jones or an Oxlade-Chamberlain could bring in the centre of the park?
Mate, I'm attacking this game. That's the way that Liverpool have got to win the game, I think. I think we can go and play and mess around with centre-halves and worry about who's playing centre-half if you want to win, if you want to play for a draw. If you want to go out and win this game, Henderson, Thiago and Wijnaldum start in the middle of the park with the front three up ahead of them. That's how you beat Manchester United. Yes, you've got to be concerned about what goes on over the top. Listen, I'm talking to Alisson Becken and telling him he's the lad who's got to save the centre-halves, because all of them will get beasted for pace by their front three. With Martial, obviously, hamstring injury, potentially, which is what Sam was alluding to before. It's fucking James. He's even faster. Who's coming in for him, you know what I mean? This is what they've got. And Rashford's faster than all of our defenders, bar none. Whether it's Fabinho, whether it's Reece Williams, whether it's Nath Phillips, doesn't matter. It's on Alisson Becker. Whether we play a ridiculously high line, which I think we will do, because I think it's about going and winning this game of football. That's what it's about. You can worry all day long about the opposition, but we've got to click. And the best to give us the best foundation to click in is put our best midfield out and our best attack out.
I agree with that notion. I think, again, Sam, the issue we've had, I think, has been a lack of bravery. And I do think I think Thiago helps that immeasurably, because he's just a very, very brave, very, very brave footballer. You know, it comes naturally to him. Obviously, we do want to make sure that we're not... Look, there's being brave and there's being stupid, which is a very fine line at times. But I mean, look at the 15 minutes in the start of the second half against Southampton, where we just went, Trent, get up there, mate. Get right up there. I want you in the final third. I want Andy Robertson in the final third. And we make the opposition worry about us. And that's what Liverpool have got to get into that situation of doing. Because look, if you do, if you overthink the problems that Manchester United can cause you, then you can drive yourself mad, because you'll play a flat back four, and you'll be pinned back by the likes of Rashford or James or Greenwood, and you won't be able to be the best version of ourselves. And I'm not saying it's quite as simple as that, but Liverpool need to engineer that situation. We're at home. We believe ourselves the better team. Man United are not going to come and look to dominate 60% plus possession of the ball. We're going to have that, so we need to dictate where we are when we've got the possession of the football.
Yeah, against Southampton as well, they got such an early goal, they had something to hold on to. They were willing to literally have 11 men in the box. Unless it's the same for Man United, I cannot see a scenario where they're going to have 11 men in the box. So that period of time where we had 15 minutes, Thiago was absolutely pulling strings all over the gaff. We're probably going to be a little bit more successful. Looking at the setup, though, I think there's a world where Henderson plays centre-back and it works, and it's in a 4-2-3-1. It's if you play Shaqiri, Salah, Mane and Firmino, you can still have Thiago and Gini anchor in the midfield with Hendo behind. And I think that could work, and you're getting all your top-quality players on the pitch. However, and you're probably only losing out at centre-back. I agree with you completely, Chris, when we talk about 4-3-3. So, yeah, you have to have 10 players on the pitch who are world-class in their position and comfortable in their position. And then another lad in who is playing his own position, who isn't as good. That works. You've got square pegs and square holes. You can't start shifting centre mids to centre back and having Milner running against Fernandes, who we've never played against before, remember? It could just cause chaos. Don't overthink it. Either attack them with the 4-2-3-1 or play our best players in their positions in 4-3-3.
Yeah, I think that's a smart notion, really. And again, it boils down to it all, is that you're spreading out the quality of your side. And look, we are a little tainted by seeing the Jordan Henderson, you know, Southampton thing. And that midfield, we were creaming our kecks at the prospect of the midfield that started that game before the game started, but it didn't get a grip on the game because we had too many lads who were trying to get back to match fitness. I wouldn't be opposed, even though it feels odd for me to say this because it didn't feel right at the time. I think you could go a game with that and it could be much better than it was against Southampton. But equally, I kind of agree with the notion there. Get as many of your best players in their best positions. And if that means that you've got one lad who's just not at the level, but he's actually, but again, it's Reece Williams, and he is a centre-half playing in that. The benefit that you get from Jordan Henderson is better in that offensive eight than Oxlade-Chamberlain is at this point. He just is. There's a case that if you put Jordan Henderson back in the six, you're getting Thiago just closer to their 18-yard box, and he might be able to do a little bit more damage. I'm feeling like I'm falling down a little bit more on that myself.
Yeah, and the 4-2-3-1 is also an interesting shout as well, much better than James Milner, if I'm being perfectly honest. But Curtis Jones was the number one I hadn't thought about. I feel rallied up now by Chris and Sam, to be perfectly honest. I wasn't sure where I sat on this game, but yeah, I think they're both right. You got to go and attack it and take the game to Manchester United. Oxlade-Chamberlain's the weird one, because against Southampton, he was kind of thrown in, and it was kind of like, this is the match fitness, you need to play, we don't have any other options, where that you might see the benefit of that now in this game, but also maybe just from a substitution or an impact sub. And Shaqiri's the other question in that one as well. Loads of people, after the game on Friday night, have seen starting. And there's an argument to say that he's a bit more of an impact sub. Now, we know he's got a great recent record against Manchester United and, again, Aston Villa on Friday night. Great form. He's got that ability to kind of unlock that pass. If you're playing Thiago a bit deeper, you've still got that what you're talking about there, someone being able to thread a ball through. Or even Taki, in a 4-2-3-1. Great against Crystal Palace. I haven't seen him since.
No. I do like... I mean, the thing about the 4-2-3-1 potentially, Chris, is that particularly with Shaqiri, and we're saying this right now, he is almost certain to be injured between now and then, because that's Shaqiri all over. So this could be a complete waste of conversation. But what I like about him, what I've liked about him this season, is not starting Shaqiri in football matches, but he is a different dimension. If you want a break glass option, bringing him on when things are tight, and maybe Man United have reached the point where Ollie's like, you know what, I'll take a draw here in the final 15, because let's face it, a draw is a much better result for Manchester United than it is for us. Having someone like Shaq to bring on is certainly no bad thing for us.
I'm all in on Shaq at the moment. I really like watching him play, and much like, we see a lot of vertical passes out of Thiago, it's what you tend to see out of Shaqiri at the same time, isn't it? Very similar, actually. They just, in the way that they pass and they look for passes, very different to what we've got, but very similar to each other. My big thing with Shaqiri at the moment is that if you start Shaqiri, you're already planning a substitution on 60, 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because he's had one start this season. It was in the Champions League. The Champions League ended over a month ago, so he hasn't had a start in a game for well over a month. And it was probably one of the earlier games anyway. I don't remember which one it was. He's had 86 minutes of Premier League action all season. That's not enough for me to be saying that he goes straight into the side against Manchester United. And I might be completely wrong here, but I don't think it's enough for Jurgen Klopp to say he goes straight into the side in a game against Manchester United either. Much like you, I don't know if he's just a good impact player anymore. I just don't see him start, so I can't compare the two side by side. What I do know is he is a good impact player. I just don't know if he can be the same. I hope he can be the same from starting minute one.
For me, if everyone we know at the moment is fit and available, I think there's two teams, Sam, and it's whether we trust, and it depends on whether we trust Reece Williams at centre-half. And I think if we don't trust Reece Williams at centre-half, then you've got no choice but to play Jordan Henderson in this game. And that means, for me, I'd be playing Thiago, Wijnaldum, Curtis Jones in midfield. Because I think Curtis struggled a little bit since, he's had a couple of games where he struggled. I think he got in his own head a little bit after the West Brom game. But this is the kind of occasion where someone of his... his confidence and self-confidence and his ability is a real opportunity for him to shine. But the flip opposite to that is, it's just to put Jordan Henderson in midfield in that position, have him run all day long box to box, and as I say, trust a young lad at centre-half.
Yeah, Jones is a great shout as well, because he's positive, isn't he? He's always looking forward, he's always looking to break the lines. And as we found with United before, breaking them down can be problematic when they just sit back, and they're going to sit back at times. But one thing I will say about watching them, though, is teams are creating opportunities. Their goalkeepers are having to be busy in games. And, even against Burnley, there was a couple of moments towards the end where they could have lost the result. So I think it's going to be on us to create chances, and Jones will definitely bring more opportunity to create chances through the middle. Here's another one for you at the back. Man United are a really big side, really good in the air. Are we going to need to consider playing Nat Phillips instead of Reece Williams, because he's just far better than him in the air? I get that both of them are slow, but when we've got corners, you're seeing Man United win big heading challenges against Burnley, never mind against Liverpool. It could be a notion that we have to play Phillips to counteract that.
Well, this is, to be fair, it's not even just the sitting centre-half in that regard, it's the midfield, and that's one of the reasons it doesn't spoken about enough, but why Southampton that bullied us, because our midfield was tiny. You know, we are normally a very big side ourselves, but when you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, Thiago and Gini as your midfield today, or you chuck Milner into one of those positions, you've got exactly the same sort of problem. If you've got... But Man United have got a choice, and they made a big point about this, Ross, with the Burnley game last night. They went with their biggest team against Burnley. They put Cavani in there. They put Matic and Pogba in the middle of the park, whereas I reckon McTominay and Fred probably come back in for this one. So there's actually an opportunity for us to actually go bigger and look to physically dominate them, which kind of goes to Sam's point as well.
Yeah, you could probably tie in the fact that they played last night into it as well. You know, fitness, where are they up to in that? They've already lost Martial potentially on top of that as well, but can Cavani play twice in the space of a couple of days, or, you know, in less than a week? McTominay did come on last night, and again, he's not the smallest person ever either. It's set pieces is an interesting one, but, you know, we've got you know, Henderson's not the shortest person ever, or Fabinho's not, you know, good goalkeeper, for God's sake, he can use his hands, or always a benefit. You just got not to give silly fouls away in that sense, and corners, which, you know, is easier said than done in that sense. But if they go tall, do go physical, be aware of that's what's around you. Curtis Jones, I don't think he's short either, is he?
Curtis Jones is a 6 footer,
but
there's a reason the Klopp signed Fabinho to play DM for Liverpool Football Club, and it's because he wanted height in his side, and he wanted height in front of the defence. That's what we're missing, as well as the centre-halves at the moment, because in these big games, these are the type of games where Fabinho makes himself a massive presence.
Question for you then, Chris. Let's talk Bruno Fernandes in this regard, because I think we've all kind of got... We've all talked about Jordan Henderson as the eight... And we're therefore kind of means Thiago's playing the six, and that's where we've kind of seen him used a little bit more recently. Does Bruno Fernandes say to you, either have Henderson as the six or put someone alongside, like put Henderson alongside Thiago in the six?
Yeah, I think Liverpool are moving towards a different setup, 4-3-3 formation with Thiago in the sides. You know, I think it's not quite as cut and dry as a 4-2-3-1, but I don't see the six being so much deeper than the eights anymore. I see it that it's sort of asymmetrical, maybe you could say it a little bit like that, like a podium in F1. Do you know what I mean? A 1-2 and a 3-step, something like that, obviously inverted. So that's what I see Liverpool's midfield to look like. And I think, you know, Thiago can play in probably the slightly more advanced one, Henderson the deeper one, for his aerial ability, but also his pace. He's good at getting back and he reads danger really well. He covers for Trent Alexander-Arnold really well. So I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't quite 4-2-3-1 and it wasn't quite 4-3-3 for this game.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one because, again, you know... We've seen Thiago is happy to get stuck in, he's happy to be physical and things, but he also has looked a little bit sloppy in those regards. He's not afraid to put a tackle in, but that doesn't mean you should be putting tackles in. And the idea of him up against Bruno Fernandes, whereas, you know, you can put Jordan Henderson in there, who is your more steady pair of hands in that regard as a six. Hey, why not throw Jordan Henderson in centre-half and put Fabinho in DM for this, you know what I mean? There's definitely, this might be a game where when you've got a strict number 10 on in the opposition side, where maybe we do need we actually need one of our proper number sixes in their rightful position.
Yeah, I think Liverpool tend to play a fluid formation at times, though, so you can say 4-3-3, and, you know, depending on your defending or your attacking, it can be slightly different. I don't blame Thiago for shying out of tackles, and he got his leg kicked off in a minute.
It's not that he shies out of tackles, it's that he just fouls people all the time.
Yeah, that was the Southampton game, wasn't it?
DMs across the league, Fernandinho's been making a career out of that for Manchester City. It's what you have to do in situations where they're transitioning on you and you don't have lads back. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think he was unlucky in the Southampton game, where I think he just cuts across the back of someone and he gives a foul away. But I think there was a succession of fouls in that game where he was giving them away. But also, he's coming back from an injury, so he's still himself getting back up to speed. Aston Villa plays 45 minutes because he's still getting back up to speed, and we need him for this one. But I think he needs to be a bit more aware of what's going on. But that can also be who's around him. Does he need to make those tackles if Jordan Henderson's there, or if Fabinho's next to him, he's got that little protection for himself?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I mean, the good thing is, for the first time in a while, we've got some interesting options, some interesting opportunities laid out before them. There's a number of ways in which we can skin the cat, which I don't think we've been able to. When you think we're only a month when it was literally, what, Henderson, Genie and Curtis Jones, there's your three midfielders. And if someone wants a rest, you throw in Taki Minamino into a position he's never played before to make that happen. And now we're going, do you play Curtis Jones? Do you play Oxlade-Chamberlain? Who partners? Are you having a two-man midfield? Are you having a three-man midfield? Are we playing with a 10? Are we not playing with a 10? You know, it's, no, it's good. And the good thing about it is I think that keeps United guessing, certainly, as well. A couple of things just to draw your attention to. Thursday evening's Q&A with Mark Goldbridge is there for people to check out if they want to. A couple of the fixtures just for everyone to keep an eye on this weekend. Fulham host Chelsea on Saturday. Leicester host Southampton Saturday night. Aston Villa host Everton Sunday early kickoff. Sheffield United, who are now flying up the table with a win.
I got told last night, sent to me that thingy, what is it, Wilder's won more Premier League games in 2021 than Klopp.
And Man City host Crystal Palace. So yeah, no, I can't see too many favours being done for the Reds here, so we very much need to go and get these 3 points if we want to get back on top of the pile. We need some score predictions. Ross, what do you think?
0-0.
Nil nil. Brilliant.
After all that, nil nil.
I'd like a win. I'd take a 1-0 then. Okay. I think it'd be fairly tight.
Cool. There's absolutely no way in hell that Liverpool don't concede in this game. 3-2 Liverpool.
Okay.
No. Oh wow. I'm going 1-0 as well. Okay. I think Ollie's gonna stick the gaff out again and we're gonna nick it.
Oh.
2-0 Liverpool.
Okay. Three of you have gone for first a clean half. Sheet. Go ahead.
Same sort of stuff. Well, exactly. That's what I mean. This is the kind of situation where I just genuinely think everyone's focusing on our defence. And look, Man United have got maybe I'm being a bit naive here because Man United are more than capable, and you're not wrong to suggest that. It's very, very likely Liverpool concede in this game. But United are not battering teams here. I don't think, you know, and I think there's definitely an opportunity. And when we face these things of like Liverpool's defence is an issue, we actually this season have tended to then pick up a clean sheet almost against the odds. I feel it might go a little bit like last season's, if I'm honest, where if we can get a goal in the first half, I still think Man United are going to be very difficult to break down. I don't see us running away with it. But then Ole's left with that choice of stick or twist. And if he twists and he leaves a little bit of the back door open, you could see a situation where, I mean, look at how Salah scores the second goal last season. Yeah. He's 10 yards deeper than every other Man United player on the pitch because they lost their heads a little bit. So, no, I'd be definitely up for seeing that. Go on, Chris.
I love that. And I actually think that, you know, we've talked about this, we've come against managers whose game plan doesn't change at 1-0. I think it's Liverpool, Manchester United, and I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's game plan does change at 1-0 slightly. Not 70, 80 minutes like the others, but like 50 minutes, he's like, okay, it's Liverpool, Manchester United, we need to win this game. And there's a bit of a naivety there which draws similar sort of, harks back to 13-14 and Rodgers for me, is that he's out to prove himself all the time to everybody.
They should come here looking for a draw.
Yeah.
They should just be going. And to be fair, Fergie will probably be ringing him up this week and saying, lad, draw. Play for a draw, because let's be honest, people remember the Ferguson era really well, obviously, because he's, you know, what a manager he was. But his later days, he did not come with ambition to Anfield.
Win your home games, draw your away games. That was his mindset. Same as Mourinho.
Exactly. And so I wouldn't be shocked if he's saying the same thing to Solskjaer, but it's about testing his mettle and seeing if he's got the bottle to stick that out. Because we've seen it with Sam Allardyce. You know, we've seen it with plenty of those old school sort of managers. 1-0's not a bad position. 1-0 down is not a bad place to be against the Liverpool side, against good teams, provided you stay in there because you can get a set piece, you can get a moment to look, you can nick something on the counter-attack. But it's whether he has got the ability to kind of stay on target on that. We will see this weekend. What a game in prospect. Yes, as I said, plenty of things to keep you entertained. The Start 11 Prediction Show will be there. The live Q&A with Mark Goldbridge from the United Stand promises to be very fun indeed as well. Do check out the 50 greatest moments of the Jurgen Klopp era so far on the redmentv.com as well. Guys, thank you. It's been absolutely wonderful. Hopefully the game is just the same. And yes, we'll see it all for the match, for the watch-along live 15 minutes before kickoff at the weekend. Hope to see you there, Sarah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.